This is Sharp Money with Patrick Maher and Amal Shaw on VSIN, the Sports Betting Network.
Sharp Money, VSIN, the Sports Betting Network, as we welcome you back just 2 days out from Thanksgiving. Plenty to do, hour three. And you know what we're going to do right now? I'm Patrick Maher, Dustin Sweetelson. We're going to welcome in our buddy Adam Burke, and then we're going to welcome you in to our Friendsgiving. Because right now we're having an impromptu Friendsgiving. That's what they say. Like, for example, I am going to hang out. I'm like 20% sure I'm going to hang out on Thanksgiving. My sister has this gay couple that invited me over. Super nice guys for Thanksgiving. I don't know anybody at the party, Adam Burke. There's going to be close to 100 people there. And I might show up as a stranger. They're calling it a Friendsgiving. Now, what we're doing here with you, me, and Dustin, we're all legitimate friends. We're going to have a little Friendsgiving, and we're going to talk some sports betting. Let's start with odds on me actually leaving the house on Thursday and going to a stranger's house. You guys want to set the number?
Yes, 10 to 1.
I keep on thinking, like, I replied yes.
Yeah,
so I try to be ethical. So if I don't go, I'm gonna be a jerk. So I kind of put pressure on myself. Adam, I'm replied yes. But when it comes down to it, I'm essentially agoraphobic. So I like to sit inside and not see human beings. It's gonna be a rough one on Thursday.
I mean, if you're one of 100, then I don't think there's as much pressure on you to go, even though you RSVP'd yes. I mean, if there's gonna be 100 people there, then that's a lot of people already.
Do you know how impossible? Let's say 100 is a stretch.
I saw people
saying yes.
Right.
It was closer to maybe 70.
That's 70 friends.
I swear to you. Do you know how they do
friends.
It every year? They've done this party every year for 20 years. And it just keeps getting bigger every year. Like, they keep on. Like, how am I supposed to go and hang out with 70 people and introduce myself to 69 other people? That's an impossibility.
It's not. It's
a lot. That's overwhelming. Also, like, I don't know. Like, the to be, like, the only person who doesn't know everyone, that would. I can't handle that.
Also, I hate small talk. I hate meaningless small talk.
Yes.
Like, where are you from? What do you do?
Weather,
how long you doing
gas
that?
Prices.
Yeah, I don't need that in my life. I think you're more than 10 to 1 to go at this point, now that we've talked through it a little more.
Also, it's we're off, right? We're not working. We didn't know we weren't going to be working, so it's like it's a free day. Do you want to waste your free day getting to know people that you're never going to see again?
Well, I mean, I think that's what being a human being is about. I'm supposed to go there, meet people, maybe add some new friends to the arsenal. Here's the thing that's going
to
be hard to
women,
do.
Women, though. They promised to try.
Yeah, there are
women.
Supposed to be cute girls there. Here's the thing that's hard to do. It's hard to live wager when you're hanging out with 69 other people that don't know anything. Like, they don't care about sports. They certainly won't be sports betting. So how am I going to sit there and live wager on the three games on Thanksgiving when the game's not even going to be on?
Yeah. I mean, that's a big issue. I mean, that's issue number two. One is having to talk to people. Two is you can't watch the games. You know what? That's your excuse. You know what, guys? I appreciate the invite, but I'm realizing I have to talk about these games on my show on Friday. So I really have to pay attention and take a lot of notes, a lot of details. Got to be able to pause and rewind the game.
I mean, honestly, at that point, you could just say I have to work.
Yeah, I'm out. All right, now I feel bad, but I got to write the people.
But maybe say, could you show me pick the Instagram profiles of the top five women?
I'm a 45-year-old man. I'm not debating whether or not I'm going to spend Thanksgiving with strangers.
No, hold on. It's not about you. I want them to send to you so you can send to me because I might come up there if they're that good looking.
There's no chance you'll come either. You're lazier than I am. All right. Berkey's got a bunch up. Managing editor, of course, over at VSiN. It's great to see Adam Burke. He's got a bunch up over at VSiN right now, including a primer on Survivor and where everything stands. You've got college basketball plays and a little Maction. So let's start there. Yes, there is football tonight. Yes, it is a terrible conference. However, you can bet it. Eastern Michigan, Buffalo. This number right now, Berkey. Buffalo's laying 5, hosting Eastern. 37.5. When I think of Eastern Michigan, I think of Charlie Batch. You guys remember Charlie Batch?
Mm-hmm. Steelers legend.
Okay.
Yeah. You don't remember Charlie
Anything
Batch?
Anything on this game?
I do remember Charlie Batch, yeah.
Charlie Batch was drafted from Eastern by the Lions. We thought he was going to be our savior. He then went on to become a, 12-year backup to Ben Roethlisberger in Pittsburgh. That Charlie back.
He had a long career. He's not. There was a point where, like, I feel like Pittsburgh had, like, three viable backup quarterbacks, and he was one of them.
Fair enough.
Tommy
Adam,
you
got to take on Eastern Michigan Buffalo tonight?
Yeah, this number was a little bit better yesterday. It was more like 6, 6.5. But I think Eastern Michigan is the play tonight. I mean, first of all, they're playing for something. Buffalo's not playing for anything. Eastern Michigan can get to 6 wins here in tonight's game. But honestly, I just thought a 6, 6.5-point head start was too much with the weather tonight. Really bad weather in Buffalo. Not a surprise. We're getting closer to winter. But it's going to be really windy there. And neither team is particularly good offensively, but I think Buffalo is a little bit more pass-reliant than Eastern Michigan is. So I think a little bit of a head start. And also, if you have something to play for in bad weather, you're less apt to be annoyed with being out there. So I think Eastern Michigan getting the points here tonight is the way to look.
Adam, as a VEASAN senior lead executive MAC expert, according to Bill A.D., curious, how would you grade the season of MACtion we've gotten this year? Because I got to tell you, normally I get pretty excited about it. It feels like it's been a bad year of Tuesday MACtion.
Yeah, I mean, the conference is really, really bad. And the conference has been bad for a long time. That's really nothing new. But I think something that really hurts the MAC at this point in time is anybody who stands out on a roster is going to get a bag from some bigger program from an NIL standpoint. So it really, really waters down the talent pool for the Mid-American Conference. And it's just something that they're going to have to deal with. I mean, it's one of those things lately where, you know, Toledo's been consistently good, but the team that wins the East Division is usually the best defensive team, which is the case this year with Miami of Ohio, and their offense isn't any good. So it's not an exciting conference. It's not a good conference. And another part of the problem is all the teams in the middle are so inconsistent that, to me, I think it's a really hard league to bet at this point in time, because you get these one-off performances from everybody kind of on a week-to-week basis that makes it really hard from a predictability standpoint to know anything about this conference.
Yeah, the offenses in the MAC are inept, to say the least. We've got, of course, three games, Adam, across the NFL on Thanksgiving, but we also have a college game. And Ole Miss, now Ole Miss coming off the butt-whooping from Georgia, they're at Mississippi State. And Mississippi State, a little turnover, obviously, with the head coach. Ole Miss is laying doubles. Right now, we've got 10 showing at DraftKings with Ole Miss laying it and 55.5.
Yeah, tough game here. I mean, you know, I think it's going to be pretty emotional in Stark Vegas as well, because the last game that Mike Leach coached was this rivalry game last year, where Mississippi State did end up winning the Egg Bowl 24-22. Look, there's a couple of things to think about here. As you mentioned, I mean, Ole Miss getting their doors blown off last week. You've got to think that they want to rally to some degree here and also get some revenge off of last year's game. And the second thing is, for Mississippi State, their quarterback, Will Rogers, just came back last week. Missed, I believe, 6 weeks. Came back last week against Southern Miss. They won the game. They scored 41 points.
It was deceptive.
Will Rogers didn't play well at all whatsoever in that mm-hmm. game. The backup was terrible while he was gone, too. But Rogers last week, 12 of 27, 144, did have a couple of touchdowns. Look, I mean, this is a kid that's passed for over 12,000 yards in that program, but he didn't look at all like that guy last week. Of course, they fired Zach Arnett a couple of weeks ago. I think it's Ole Miss or nothing in this game, despite the way that the line has moved down to 10 over the last 24 hours.
I'm with Adam here. I like Ole Miss this week. Look, they fired Arnett a week ago, and the bounce back from that was they barely covered against Southern Miss. I was paying close attention because it was part of an 18 parlay that came down to the last leg, and I hedged and I made money on it. It didn't come through all the way, but I needed this game early on to cash, and Southern Miss is bad. Shout out to my guy Will Hall, the head coach. I do love him, but they are not very good. And if they were going to bounce back off the Arnett firing, it was last week. On the other side with Ole Miss, they're playing for Kiffin's job. Patrick and I come down on opposite sides of this, Adam. Do you think Ole Miss can do better than Lane Kiffin?
Oh, that's a good question. I think they can, but, see, at what cost? It would be a very, very significant cost, I think, to do better than Lane Kiffin. But also, what's the ceiling at Ole Miss, right? I mean, if they win this game, they're 10-2 with their two losses to Alabama and Georgia. Like, that's a really good year, I think. I don't know if you could expect much more than that.
That's fair. I was just thinking, like, again, give somebody else an opportunity to go 8-5 at Ole Miss. Like, Lane has had
that's fair too.
Opportunity.
Yeah.
Now, this year a little bit different, but did we expect anything differently in Athens last week? He was outwitted. His team was completely outplayed. I don't know. Again, he's had opportunity after opportunity, bailed on Tennessee after 1 year. Obviously, the disaster at USC where he had just so much talent and underachieved. And now Ole Miss. I don't know. Maybe you're right. Maybe there is a ceiling, obviously, in Oxford. Let's start with the handicap of Ohio State, Michigan. Then we can come back and discuss it. Of course, an Ohio native there, Adam Burke. This number has been a steamy roller coaster. So, again, we got all the way up to Michigan laying 6, and now we're sitting 3.5. 46.5 is interesting on the total because we haven't seen this game go under that total since 2010. We'll start with the handicap Ohio State, Michigan, and Ann Arbor, and we'll come back and continue, Adam.
Yeah, unfortunately, Amal Shaw not here to maybe back me up on some of my Ohio State thoughts, but I have this game Michigan minus 2. I have Ohio State a half-point favorite on a neutral here. Actually, about 1.5-point favorite on a neutral. I have not been impressed with Michigan at all over the last couple of weeks. I thought that from a physicality standpoint, Penn State actually matched up really well against them. Obviously, they didn't play well at all last week against Maryland. It's not because Harbaugh is not on the sideline. I think it's just because maybe this Michigan team isn't as great as what they did early in the season, kind of blowing out teams. Also, I don't think the Big Ten is that good, to be totally honest with you. But I think Ohio State has at least played against some decent games against decent opponents, and they got the job done. Michigan got the job done as well. But I've soured on the Wolverines here over the last couple of weeks, over their last two data points. I feel a lot better about Ohio State now than I did 3-4 weeks ago.
I think you're being kind to the Big Ten and saying it's not very good. That conference stinks. It's not MAC bad, but the Big Ten is terrible. When we come back, I've got three reasons Michigan rolls over Ohio State.
This is Sharp Money with Patrick Maher and Amal Shaw on VSIN, the sports betting network.
If you haven't become a VSIN Pro subscriber yet, now's your best chance to sign up and save. You can sign up for our Black Friday special today and get VSIN Pro access to everything we do now through May 1st for $60. It's a great deal. Sign up, you get the daily best bets, unlimited access to our betting splits. You can read everything from Adam Burke. It's all there, VSIN.com/subscribe. I can assure you, after this week, we're not going to give away a subscription for less than $60 for that amount of time. So check it out, VSIN.com/subscribe. As we welcome you back here on Sharp Money, Dustin Sweetelson, Adam Burke, VSIN Managing Editor, joins us here on Sharp Money. And Dustin, you're 100% right. There's 35 people at the party. I don't know what I was smoking when I said 100. The Thanksgiving party is 35 people because I just went to write them an email saying that I wasn't coming, and then I got nervous because now it's less people. So anyway, I digress. Only 35 people. You
well,
know.
Now that also hurts their case for you to show now, because if they said there's going to be a bunch of single women they want to introduce you to, of those 35, the odds of them being people you're compatible with now drop in half.
Why do you keep on thinking, like, I never said anything about them introducing me to chicks. Like, why do you keep coming back to that? That's not happening.
They said there'd be single women there for you, and I'm
yes, they did.
I need to be the best man at a wedding. It's been a long time.
All right, you're in. Berkey, Ann Arbor, Ohio State. It looks like you're leaning Ohio State here. The number is 3.5. Again, the ride has been crazy with the movement. Up to 6, down to 3.5 where we sit right now. I give Michigan 3 distinct advantages, and you kind of fight back if you'd like. One, I think it's an advantage not having Harbaugh on the sideline. I think the kids, I think the whole entire university, I think they love this victimization. Oh, us against the world. You know, everybody, all whether it's Charles Woodson or Jalen Rose, all the Michigan alum going nuts about Michigan being vilified. You're cheaters. You legitimately cheated in a very strategic way. Shut up with the victimization. But here are the three advantages. One, special teams. As you know, Berkey, Ohio State is a disaster this year on special teams. Two, the offensive front of Ohio State has been very up and down. Outside of Matthew Jones, other than that, they've been inconsistent. I think Michigan defensively up front has an advantage. And then three, I think Michigan, kind of like Notre Dame, kind of like Rutgers, I think they're going to be able to run the football. Teams that have dedicated themselves to running the football against Ohio State have done so. Notre Dame went for over 170, and Rutgers went for 232. If Rutgers can run the ball against this Ohio State defense, what do you think Corum, what do you think Edwards are going to do in a team that is their identity? As much as people want to talk about J.J. McCarthy, their identity is running the football. Those are my three distinct advantages. Special teams, offensive line being up and down for Ohio State, and Michigan running the football.
Well, I don't really think the initial point, the intro that you kind of had there, I don't buy into any situational angles or any of that BS in this game. Ohio State's lost this game back-to-back years. That doesn't happen. Ryan Day can't let it happen a third time. So Ohio State will be plenty focused, plenty engaged, all that kind of thing. There won't be any worry about that. Look, as far as the running thing goes, I mean, yeah, Notre Dame ran for 176 yards, but they only had 4.5 yards per carry. And their longest carry was 22 yards. So a lot of that just had to do with Notre Dame really committing to running the football in that game. As you mentioned, maybe Michigan does the same thing, but I think Jim Knowles will definitely have a much better game plan here because this is the game Ohio State's planned for 365 days, similar to what Michigan's done. But I think that's a big part of it. And then the other thing is, Rutgers had the threat of a mobile quarterback. Now, Gavin Wimsett didn't run much in that game, 13 carries, 49 yards, but that threat was there. J.J. McCarthy doesn't really run, so I don't really think that that's anything that Ohio State's worried about. Yeah, Corum's a really good running back, and teams can run on Ohio State, at least to some degree, but I think Ohio State will force McCarthy to throw the football. Now, let me play a few things back at you. First of all, tell me when J.J. McCarthy has made a big throw this season. Tell me when J.J. McCarthy has had to go out there and score points for this team and get them down the field in a pressure situation. It has not happened. Against Penn State, nope. They didn't even let the dude throw the ball in the second half. So what happens if this is a close game and all of a sudden McCarthy's got to go out there and throw? What if Ohio State has a lead and it's on McCarthy's shoulders and it won't be the Blake Corum show? Also, something else I think is important to point out here is, when has Michigan faced a wide receiver group anything close to that this season? Is their defense as good as last year? I don't know that we can make that distinction because Penn State's offense sucks and they haven't played anybody else with an offense. Maryland was able to move the ball a little bit on them with Talia Tagovailoa, who makes 50% great throws and 50% awful throws. As long as Kyle McCord takes care of the football, Igbuka will get open. Harrison should get open as he has throughout the course of the season. I think Ohio State has some advantages of their own here that Michigan really hasn't run into.
Hold on, big guy.
Let me respond really quickly. Well done. First off, I don't know about the two of you. I don't even think McCarthy's a pro.
I think he stinks. I don't get it.
I think McCarthy stinks. Here's to put, like, again, if they need him in a big spot, I totally agree. And Dustin, I'll let you go. But let me just say this. Ohio State, as you know, Berkey, have been a slow starting team. If they start slowly and all of a sudden Michigan with that run game and time of possession start to grind, I think they could become a little dispirited. They do have to start fast. They can't do what they've done all season, which is start slowly, not just the first quarter, but the first half.
Yeah, I mean, I can't argue with that. That's been a thing for Ryan Day. And then they wind up playing catch up. They have to be very one-dimensional. And you can't be one-dimensional with Kyle McCord. You could be with C.J. Stroud, but right. You can't be with exactly. Kyle McCord. The one thing I will say about Ohio State as the season has gone along here, though, their running game is much stronger when Travion Henderson is out there. Chip Traynham and Mayan Williams, those are two guys that just don't create a lot of explosive plays. Williams is out now for the season. But they are a much different offense with Travion Henderson out there. So at least there's that. He looks to be very healthy going into this game.
All right. I need to ask three questions before I change my pick because you're an Ohio State fan. I need to get into your psyche as betting and as an Ohio State fan. So three questions. How would you describe your Ohio State fandom? Are you more of a positive or negative fan? How often do you tend to bet on them? And are you willing to denounce the 2003 Fiesta Bowl right here, right now?
Number one, I'm obviously pessimistic because I'm a Cleveland fan first and foremost, and my life has just been despair and a lot of being downtrodden at the end of a season. So the glass is always half empty for me.
Okay.
Second, I almost never play on or against Ohio State because you get a lot of these Ryan Day specials where they don't play well in the first half, then somehow cover the game by playing well in the second half. And then the final question, I refuse to denounce the 2003 Fiesta Bowl.
Oh, it's a sham.
Dare I say, Berkey feels
a little cocky about the Buckeyes' chances this Saturday.
I might be flipping here simply because this is such an overwhelming opposite of what normally Adam Burke feels about his own team.
Look, I just, again, I have not been impressed with Michigan the last 2 weeks when they've played somebody with a pulse. And Ohio State has more than a pulse. And Ohio State, I mean, look, they've not played well in this game the last 2 years. So there's a very good chance that maybe Michigan just kind of has them outfoxed. But, again, I mean, you know, I saw a tweet that kind of perfectly encapsulated it for me. It's like, look at what C.J. Stroud is doing in the NFL, and then consider the fact that Ohio State lost to Michigan back-to-back years. Like, that kind of tells me how much of an impact this whole sign-stealing thing had. And Stroud was still pretty good overall. I had some turnovers and stuff like that. But I just think this sign-stealing thing, it was very significant, and I'm sure they ramped it up to take on Ohio State every year.
See, the Stroud brilliance would lead me to fade Ohio State this year.
I mean, well, how much leveler is the playing field with no sign-stealing involved? I think that's a very fair question. I mean, yeah, C.J. Stroud is way better than Kyle McCord. There's no doubt about that. There's no denying that whatsoever. But, I mean, how much did that, you know, negatively impact Ohio State's play calling on defense? And their defense, I mean, this is maybe the best defense they've had in my lifetime with what Jim Knowles has done here in his second year. That's a pretty big difference, I think, for Ohio State.
He threw two picks against Michigan last year. Didn't throw a lot. Threw six interceptions. A third of them came against Michigan last year. Could be something to that angle.
Has the Stroud success shocked you?
I don't think so. I think in terms of being an NFL quarterback of the guys that Ohio State has rolled through, I think he has the best skill set to be one, to be that guy that can stand up and throw in the pocket. And again, I mean, we saw last year, you know, him kind of display that mobility a little bit more against Georgia in the playoff game, that he's used a little bit in terms of rolling out, throwing on the run, stuff like that. So I haven't been surprised by it, I don't think.
I'll tell you who's surprised by it. Frank Reich and David Tepper, and they're not happy.
Well, Frank Reich wanted C.J. Stroud, and he got overruled.
Yeah, Tepper wanted Young. The problem with Young, and I don't know if you agree, Berkey, it's just the processing. Look, dude struggled. Manning was terrible. Aikman was terrible. Like, you can go on and on. It's not often you have a rookie that plays well at quarterback. It feels like he's slow with the processing, Young. And the opposite is true for C.J. Stroud. Like, he's ahead of it.
Yeah. Well, and you can't be slow now because pass rushers run as fast as quarterbacks and wide receivers and all that do.
Hard to process when you can't see the play developing.
And what Burke said, pay attention, Tom Brady, because Tom Brady's sitting there back in my day. No. The talent today is beyond anything you saw, Tom. To be fair, we'll come back. More college football with Adam Burke.
This is Sharp Money with Patrick Maher and Amal Shaw on VSIN, the sports betting network.
All right, we got to take a break to talk about Zyn nicotine pouches. We're always debating who's number one. Well, guess what? Zyn is already there. It's helped millions of people achieve lasting change, earning the title of America's number one nicotine pouch. You can find your Zyn at your local convenience store or online at Zyn.com. That's Zyn.com. As a warning, this product does contain nicotine. Nicotine is an addictive chemical. A little Friendsgiving on a Tuesday, November 21. Happy holidays. I'm Patrick Maher. Of course, the big guy, Dustin Sweetelson, and he is joined by our good friend and managing editor over at vsin.com, Berkey, Adam Burke. An extensive knowledge of music. Lately, the focus has been country, but also a big craft beer guy. Although I would say our friendship was a rocket ship, but Adam has ignored me, Dustin, for like three straight weeks now, and it's not me, it's him. I don't know if I've done something. Ooh. What do you suggest I do when Berkey just stops writing you?
Has he ignored a double text? Have you texted? Have you been this text twice in a row?
Well, I mean, it is weird. The last thing I wrote to him is "you up?" ? So that's weird.
Yeah. Well, he wasn't up, and maybe his wife was around when he saw that text message. Is your wife cooking Thanksgiving food?
No.
No?
Nope. We're going elsewhere.
Smart.
Yeah.
Are you, what are we spinning right now? I'm going on a walk as soon as the show ends with old Jeezy the dog. You want to think about texting me some music, or do you have one off the top of mind?
No, I have one off the top of mind, actually. I sent you Wyatt Flores before. He just released a 7-song EP.
Does he play second base for the Giants?
He does not, no.
Oh, it's Wilmer. That's Wilmer.
No, Wyatt Flores, his 7-song EP is really, really good. Just came out last Friday.
Okay. And I liked his voice. I remember. I listened to him. Yep. Okay. I'll do Wyatt Flores on the walk.
You Berkey don't ask me for music, I notice, ever.
Because you're a donk, and you don't like music. You genuinely don't care about music.
I very rarely add music to my Spotify, and I'm not sexist, but it's very rarely women. However, this young lady I stumbled upon, put this song on your playlist. You tell me. You tell me how good it is. Abby Anderson, Heart on Fire in Mexico.
Okay.
She's a little cutie patootie, too.
I will send you. Please don't ever say cutie patootie again on this dumb show. And I will listen to Abby Anderson, and I will send you a review after the show. But first, Wyatt Flores. Also, Berkey was begging me to ask him about the NBA during the break, and I hate to disappoint you. I'm just not going to do it, Adam. So you cool with that? We're going to get back to college football.
Perfect. Thank you.
Okay, you're welcome. Oregon State, Oregon. Again, Oregon loses here. Now, they're a heavy favorite, 13.5. Oregon loses here, boys. They're out of the big picture. Here comes Oregon State. Now, Oregon State off the loss to Washington. Did you get it? That was a fantastic game, by the way. But here we go. Oregon, like I mentioned, a heavy number. Well, did it ever touch 14? We're sitting 13.5 right now. It did. It got up to 14. Bet under the key number, now sitting 13.5. The Ducks hosting the Beavers. Adam Burke.
Yeah, I think two really, really well-coached teams. I like the script that Jonathan Smith comes up with most weeks, but I think Dan Lanning's the top five coach in the country already, and that may not be that bold of a call. I mean, I think he's just been really, really good throughout the course of the season here. Of course, last week took it easy on his buddy Kenny Dillingham, much to my chagrin, holding Bo Nix 30-1 to win the Heisman. I wish he would have let him keep going a little bit, but got sacked on third down after having a touchdown taken off the board, and Lanning was like, you know what, screw this, we're done. We're going to make sure he doesn't get hurt. Well, I was impressed with Oregon State last week. I was really, really impressed with the running game. Martinez is a phenomenal back. A lot of cuts right behind the line of scrimmage. Yep. Very, very good vision. That's something I think you can move the ball a little bit on this Oregon defense. I kind of like the over a little bit more than a side here in this game, but that also may be wishful thinking, just hoping that Nix goes out there and puts up a monster game.
Martinez is a pro.
Yes.
I'm glad you brought him up. He's a pro. He is fantastic. I'll take the points. I'll take the points here with Oregon State. Really well coached. I wonder if he's going to stick around. Boys, has it been confirmed that they're going to the Mountain West?
I don't think it's confirmed yet, but he can't stay if they're in the Mountain West. Jonathan Smith is better than being in a Group of Five conference. Like, he needs to be contending for national championships.
I think he could end up
in East Lansing.
I watched the Oregon State-Washington game with Femi, and we were talking about that throughout the game. Like, it's his dream job, right? Played there, wanted to be there, but leaving the Pac-12, like, you can't stay there, right?
No, but by the way,
no chance.
The one school I would say is it's always good. Like they say, like, take the chance, take the job. This is always waiting for you back home. Mike Riley went back there. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, right,
they're
right.
Going to welcome Jonathan Smith back if wherever he goes, it doesn't work out. He'll just say, look, if I come back, it's for forever. I promise I'll never leave again. This is where I'm dying. And that's how it'll go.
If Chip Kelly gets canned, UCLA for Jonathan Smith?
Ooh, ho, 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 ho. I don't know if he wants big city. I think he wants college. I would never want to be the head coach of a team not in a college town, like in a major city. That to me just feels like you're working. Like even College Park to me in Maryland, I wouldn't want to do that outside
East
of a major
Lansing.
City.
East Lansing.
His style of football works there too.
Berkey's just hating because he's an Ohio guy.
I've honestly never been to East Lansing, so I can't.
Chip. I don't think Chip's going anywhere.
The vibe I get here
in Los Angeles is he's sticking around for another year.
He lost like a 4-year starter at quarterback. Of course the team was going to regress.
Yeah. I mean, but that's, again, but that's one of those now, though, like, moving to the Big Ten, you know, like, is that good or bad for Chip Kelly?
Oh, I like it for them because when they match up with, like, an Illinois or some of these like Midwestern Big Ten teams that just can't get up and down.
Yeah.
If they score 14 or 17, they could go into ball control mode.
By the way, you forgot the, for some reason, and we'll get to a few more rivalry games. For some reason, you guys just made me think of it. The weirdest coaching move of all time. Remember, was it Anderson that went from Utah State to Wisconsin?
Yes.
And then left Wisconsin for Oregon State?
Yes.
Yeah.
That is the weirdest trajectory of all. He willingly left Wisconsin to go to Oregon State after leaving Utah State to Wisconsin, Burke. Like, what was that?
Well, then he went back to Utah State, right?
Yeah, he did for 2 years.
Yes, he did.
But by the way, he was a bad fit everywhere but Utah State.
Well, he had a toxic he had a toxic locker room everywhere he went.
Oh,
right?
Did he?
Yeah, I think that was the reason why he was let go at both Oregon State and Utah State.
Yeah, 100%. No, you nailed it. Let's do. Let's go Florida, Florida State. Now, obviously, the Jordan Travis, everybody was bummed out. He's a great kid. He gone. He done for his career, which is sad. Florida State's going to lay 6.5 in Gainesville at Florida, Berkey.
Yeah, I mean, both quarterbacks gone, right? Graham Mertz isn't going to play this game for Florida either.
Correct.
So, you know, I mean, Tate Rodemaker's been in the Florida State program for a long time, but obviously a huge downgrade from Jordan Travis. Max Brown looked pretty decent, looked to really be in command of the offense once Graham Mertz went out there, and Florida almost knocked off Missouri, who's a really, really good team this season. I mean, they're a top 10 caliber team in terms of the rankings. So, I mean, I honestly have no clue what to do with this game. I wouldn't be shocked if Florida wins. I wouldn't be shocked if Florida State wins by a couple scores. Very, very high variance game, I think, to me.
Could you guys do me a favor real quick? My internet's not working for some reason. Can you Google what high school Tate Rodemaker went to?
Shtick.
He went to Valdosta High School. You think he's scared of the Florida Gators?
Answer your own dumb question.
He's not scared of the Florida freaking Gators. He went to Valdosta High School. He had more pressure on him every start in high school at Bazemore Hyder Stadium. He's not scared of Florida. Come on now. He's going to go into the swamp, walk away with a victory. They cover the number. Tate Rodemaker ain't scared.
I mean,
we really needed one of those when, like, the Sigma Derby game was full just to get everyone's attention. There's, like, 8 people up here today.
Dude. The Sigma Derby game last, was it Friday, Dustin?
It was.
Somebody put a quarter in. They won 120.
No, no,
it sounded like they were at a Metallica show in 96.
He won $200.
$200?
Like a quarter.
Okay. It's good ROI.
It's a great return. The ROI was tremendous. The reaction was a little much. Iron Bowl doesn't have the same vibes this year, boys, because Jordan Hare, Bama's laying 14.5, 15 on the road. You guys got anything on this one? We'll start with you, Adam.
No, I don't think I have anything. It'd be Alabama or nothing for me, though. I think Alabama's really rounded into form nicely here throughout the second half of the season. Jalen Milroe's been playing well. This is kind of a classic Nick Saban team where the offense isn't, you know, big play to throwing the ball down the field, stuff like that. This is just Milroe makes plays, and the defense is really, really good. So I think Auburn's awful. I mean, it's easy to say with last week losing badly to New Mexico State, but I think Auburn's really, really bad. I can't wait to fade them in a bowl game, and I'm not going to fade them here, but that would be the way I would look.
Weird things happen at Jordan-Hare. Iron Bowl since 1993, since moving to Jordan-Hare when Auburn's home. That would have covered 14.5. 2001, 31-7 Alabama. 2011, 42-14 Alabama. 2015, 29-13, but is deceptive because Will Muschamp got an unsportsmanlike penalty that led to a field goal late in that game. That is 3 out of 15 where Alabama would have covered 14.5 as the favorite.
Auburn paid $1.8 million to New Mexico State to get beat 31-10. They couldn't do anything offensively. You expect them to do something against Bama? Not happening. Lay it. Come back with the NFL and Adam Burke.
This is Sharp Money with Patrick Maher and Amal Shaw on VSIN, the Sports Betting Network.
All right, bet $5, get $150 in bonus bets using the promo code SHARP. That's for new customers. Download the DraftKings app, which, by the way, so interactive. It was my first opportunity to use it last night. It's freaking crazy. Check out the DraftKings app. Shout out to DraftKings and the tech department. Sharp is the code. $5 gets you 150. No sweat, same game parlay for everybody at DraftKings. The crown is yours. Welcome you back. Dustin Sweetelson, I'm Patrick Maher. Adam Burke, VSiN's managing editor. There it is. For those of you watching us, whether it be YouTube TV or myriad platforms that you can catch VSiN, that is Sigma Derby. And that is where the donks hang out. Now, I consider myself a donk because if I was in Vegas hanging out with you guys at the D after the show, I'd go play Sigma Derby. It seems like a lot of fun, and people get freaking loud playing it, big guy.
Well, it's the cheapest possible way to get the most free drinks in Vegas, because as long as you're playing on a game or a machine, you will get the waitress to come by, and shout out to Elizabeth, I miss you, and she will bring you a drink for free. So I don't see how there's a better deal in the world.
I've never played it, still, to this day.
Got any quarters?
My truck, not with me. Oh. Next week, I'll bring them.
Okay, so I just looked up the last text that Berkey sent me. So here's the deal. Dustin and I are antisocial. And even though the big guy has an outgoing personality and he gets loose on social media, he doesn't really leave his apartment. So we're kind of the same. That's why we get along so well.
By choice, by the way. I want to say, people do want to hang out with me. I am a good time. It just takes a lot to get me going.
Well, yeah, that's true. People do want to hang out with the big guy. Now, Berkey's married, but he is like the inverse of us. He sent me his schedule for the month of December with his wife. They go out a lot to concerts. Like, they're actually normal human beings that get involved in society. He is going to 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Like, he potentially could go to like 9 concerts in the month of December. Am I lying, Burke? That's really what's on the calendar right now.
No, you're not lying. My favorite week in town by far is when the rodeo is here. And it happens in December every year. And there's live music everywhere around town. You know, some shows you got to pay for. Most of them are completely free. So fully take advantage of that. My favorite week in town by far.
Of these bands you're seeing, these shows you're seeing, what percentage of songs do you actually know the words to?
Most of them.
Seriously?
He's a music savant.
I don't listen to podcasts. I don't listen to audiobooks. I listen to music. That's it. That's all I listen to
is chart money.
And music.
when you're right, you write every single day for VSiN.com, not just a managing editor, but a writer. When you're writing part of the process, do you listen to music or is it in silence?
100%. Music is always on for me. I mean, my end of the year, like, Spotify rap thing is like an absurd amount of minutes I've listened to music.
This is where I'm stupid. You don't ever hear like the words of the song and accidentally type the words instead of your thoughts?
No, I've never done that.
I can't listen to things while I work.
Never heard of that.
I might be special, huh?
moving
just realizing
on.
This.
But Dustin, I brought up all those concerts to tell you, break out your cowboy boots and your Stetson hat. Why don't you go to some of the shows next week?
Yo, that's a good look for me. That's a good look for me. The problem is some of those women that I'd want to hit on are a lot tougher than me. I don't know how I feel about being that.
Hey, Burke, did you hear the last time the big guy went out on a date? He was hanging out at a bar across the way. John Goulet and Matt Brown, his boss and his coworker, were at the same bar, and he had to introduce a girl that he barely even knew her name to his coworkers.
I go, hey, this is my boss, John. John, this is, and I'm like, oh no, what is her name? And I said her name, but I got it right. I had to look, while John was talking to her, I looked in my phone to confirm I got it right, because if I didn't, I was going to leave right there.
Oh, I've got some buddies that they'll take a girl to Starbucks just so that they can find out what her name is.
That's a good move. That's a good move.
That's pretty funny. All right. So, Thanksgiving. First off, like 1 to 10, 10 being a great 3-game slate, 1 being a disaster. Green Bay, Detroit, Washington, Dallas, San Francisco, Seattle. How do we grade this out, boys?
4? Maybe. I mean, you got, you know, 2 favorites at home over a touchdown in Detroit and Dallas. And then,
but is, 3 divisional is Seattle, games.
Is Seattle any good? They should be good.
Here's the thing. Here's the thing about Seattle. And that was, look, McVay owns Carroll, and the Rams have owned the Seahawks. You have to win that game if you're a legit team. I totally agree with your question, which is inferring, like, weren't they supposed to be a team people had in the mix in the NFC? And the answer is absolutely not. And Geno wasn't bad in the game. Geno got absolutely launched by Aaron Donald in that game. Like, the fact that he came back to play was wild because they weren't going to win, and they didn't win. Now, the number is 6.5 at home. I will tell you, I like all three dogs on Thanksgiving, Berkey. I'll take the 7.5 with Green Bay. I think it's a bit much. Essentially the same number that Chicago closed last week in Detroit. I'll take the 11 with Washington, even though Dallas is awesome at home, and Washington just got pummeled by the Giants. And I will take a 6.5-point dog at home with Seattle hosting San Francisco. I like all three dogs on Thursday.
I don't know. I mean, Howell's been beaten up so much for Washington that I kind of worry about him coming back on a short week. Although, I mean, 11 is a pretty big number there, to be sure. I kind of like Detroit a little bit, laying the 7.5. I certainly think if you want to, you know, I'm sure people will play teasers or at least do something with Thanksgiving to distract them from being around family. Look, I mean, I think Detroit on a teaser leg is obviously, you know, a pretty good idea, although I thought that last week too, and I had to get very lucky in terms of what happened with the end of their game. But, yeah. I mean, Detroit beat Green Bay by 2 touchdowns at Lambeau earlier this season and outgained them by like 180 yards. So I don't really think anything has really changed between the two teams since then. So I actually do like Detroit a little bit in that game.
Big guy, you got anything?
Forgot, are we grading on a letter or number scale for the
slate? 1 to 10. Four is the answer. Burke nailed it. It's not quite a 5. 5 would be average. These are 3 below. Now, again, are we going to complain? No, you're going to be sitting around getting housed, eating food on Thanksgiving. It's awesome, but the games aren't great.
Yeah, I feel like the Commanders one's the one that jumps out to me so much. One, because it's such a big number, but two, I don't think that number's as big if they do what they're supposed to do against the Giants, and I'm starting just to believe in this conspiracy that I've created. Teams with that short week ahead the previous week, they just come out so vanilla, so basic, especially when they're a big favorite, and they were a big favorite over the Giants. They thought they could cruise with their basic skeleton packages against Tommy DeVito, and they couldn't get there. So I think that number should probably be like 8.5, 9, and it's up to 11 at that point. That's the one I want to fire on the most.
Berkey, Detroit, they're sitting 8-2, first time since 62. Yes, 1962. You know it, but here's the problem. The defense is fraudulent. They don't have a pass rush. They can't defend anybody. They gave up 334 total yards to Fields in his first game back. The week before, 421 to the Chargers. A few weeks back, 503 total yards to the Ravens, where they were absolutely outclassed. Are you a believer in the Detroit Lions right now?
To a degree. I mean, I do think that offense is good. I do think that Johnson will continue to, you know, create some things as we go throughout the season. And look, I mean, as long as Goff takes care of the football, I mean, that's really important. Look, you know, for Chicago, I mean, they got Justin Fields back. And what Fields is able to do with his legs is something that not a whole lot of teams have. You know, the Bears had, what, 183 rushing yards in that game last week? It's just not a dimension that a lot of teams are able to bring to the table. And I think that is a bit of a blind spot for most NFL teams, not just the Lions. The Chargers one, I will grant you, but also, I mean, there are days where Herbert can go off. There are days where his offense is just going to work out really well with Kellen Moore there. And they've got Keenan Allen playing at maybe the highest level of his career, and he's had a very, very good career to this point. So, yeah, there are some concerns and some flaws, but, I mean, look, you know, Philadelphia is great, I think. The 49ers appear to be great now that they've righted the ship. Does anybody else really scare you that much in the NFC? I think that's the question for Detroit.
By the way, Berkey went deep into his bag for his college basketball plays today. He went straight to the top 25 matchups in the marquee games on the board. Kennesaw State, East Carolina, Lehigh, Monmouth, Fresno State, New Mexico State. You're in your bag, Mr. Burke. You want to give one of those, and the rest of them subscribers can go pick up on the picks page. You want to give one of those three plays out before we get out of here?
Yeah, I like a lot of the deep cuts because I think that's where you can find some advantages if you're really digging into a lot of these games here. And I do really like all three of those plays for sure, but I'll give you the Fresno State one because it is the late game here. They're 5-point favorite against New Mexico State. New Mexico State is basically rebuilding their basketball program. They've got a new head coach, Jason Hooten, from Sam Houston State. Plays a pressure-aggressive defense. New Mexico State doesn't have the horses for that yet. Fresno State's good on both ends of the floor. I like the Bulldogs laying five tonight.
Lay it. It's five, Fresno State over New Mexico State. To you and your wife and your family, happy Thanksgiving, Adam Burke. Great to see you at Skating Tripods on Twitter. VSiN's managing editor. Big guy, I will see you tomorrow. See you then. Sharp money.
I'll see you first.